Okay, shall we crack on? Is that a bit Wallace and Gromit?
I want to dance around our handbags.
Okay. Right, Kathy and I have just put our heads together about how to conduct ourselves for the rest of the day. I have to leave you all at 3 o'clock. We've got lunch here in the room, so although we will take breaks when we're flagging, we've had a nice break now, we've had a relatively easy start to the day, let's see if we can push through and have a working lunch. I think that what I'd like to do just first is have a quick tour de table about what we've heard in the last week, what we've digested from the various interactions that we've had and the comments, and what you personally think is our priority to work on or change. Then I think I'd like to hear back from the small groups who were looking at text for us on the problems that we identified, if we've got anything to say on that. And then we will... there's generally, you know, in very high-level terms, there's going to be issues that we can deal with because we agree there's a point or we've not been very clear or something and it's really easy. And then there's going to be hard stuff where we've had feedback in or we've had a change of heart on our own part. Let's just air those. I think it's important to get the big issues out on the table that people have either given to us or we feel. But I would emphasise, let's not use this as an opportunity to reopen from scratch all of our recommendations. I think I've said before, our consensus was hard won, so let's just view that as default. And then finally, and then I'll come to you, Samad, I want to leave here with a very clear plan ahead, with volunteers looking at... I think that we could probably have 2 or 3 people looking at the text of the entire report because there's not going to be that much that changes, but we have had some comments which I think are relatively fast, and also just a general coming back to it after several months, we'll have a fresh pair of eyes over it. Then I want another group looking at, and we will probably all be doing this in fact, our focus as the whole team will be on building up our executive summary with the boxes of findings and recommendations. I think what we took away from the way that Kathy presented or put together the public comment slides was it's really helpful to have finding, recommendation, and so that will be the format I think we're all comfortable to adopt. And then Denise, at some point I'd quite like to hear from you on process. There'll have to be another public comment, I guess, on the final report. What we do with that sort of does give us a big motivation to either accept or deal with the comments in total. You know, if we don't have to accept every comment, but I think we can say we will have to respond to the comments, all of them in some way. So I've got Samad and then Bill.
I was actually going to suggest that at some point, maybe earlier on if possible, if we could go through all the recommendations without really having a substantive discussion on them, but just flagging them whether they're okay as they are, need minor revision, editing, textual revision, need perhaps significant rewrite, need discussion and rewrite. So maybe make some categories and just go through this very quickly and then come back so that we have an overall.
That might be a very nice way to structure our work, Samad. Thank you for that. Well, actually, should we have a...
Did you want me to just run through the process?
Actually, yes, let's... Okay.
Bill Smith. The review or comment period for the final report, my understanding is that actually is a review of a document under the board's control. So it's not our document, in a sense, anymore. And we don't have to respond to any comments that come in formally. Right? They're commentary to the board.
Right. Thank goodness.
Yeah. So I, just to clarify the process,
Obviously, the public comment forum on the draft report that's closing on the 18th is, of course, is the review team's comment period. And if you haven't, I would suggest you talk about how you respond to the comments that are posted, right? The final report, when you finalize your report, you send it to the board, and effectively your job is done. The affirmation of commitments requires the board, when it receives the final report, to post it for public comment. And so, as Bill said, the public comment period on the final report is owned by the board, if you will, and that is, it's the board's responsibility to consider consider the comments on your final report and factor those into the board's subsequent action on your report.
That's very really helpful. Thank you, Denise.
Can I ask that?
Yes.
So if in that process, as the board's reviewing all of this and they decide to accept some of the recommendations and all, not all, is there any recourse? Does the team have any ability to come back and push the board, except as individual stakeholders?
I think this is a really interesting issue, Susan, because it's something I've observed from afar with the ATRT, is that the ATRT no longer exists, but because the individual members, the chair, the vice chair, and several of them come to ICANN meetings anyway, they've sort of formed an ad hoc alumni of
right.
the ATRT. Now, I won't be here. I won't be coming to ICANN meetings from now on, or I have no purpose that I can foresee. And so, and many of us are in the same position. We wouldn't ordinarily be attending.
Mm.
So we will cease to have a function. And I have the very same question that you do.
Yeah. So, you know, we're somewhat in uncharted territories here, being as this is the first Two Whiz review team in the very first round of affirmation reviews. But I can tell you what we've done with the ATRT. About at least every trimester, sometimes more frequently, I have an ATRT alumni list, and I keep them updated on implementation and board actions on their report. And after the ATRT final report was submitted, we did have quite a bit of back and forth with the ATRT and specific board members, because ATRT members, as they divided up sections of the report, and different ATRT members had responsibility for it. And so when we needed more in-depth clarification and feedback of, is this what you meant? Are we doing are we doing what you had expected? Do we understand this properly? We had that kind of interaction with them. Technically, the Who Is review team will sort of cease to exist as an entity after you submit the final report. That is not to say that your additional comments and feedback would not be welcome. But rest assured that I've got all your email addresses, and I'll keep you closely apprised, whether you like it or not, on how this goes forward.
That's really helpful. I've got Seth and Kathy Sarma.
Will the RT for the Who Is email link, will that remain active, or that will go off? That will go off. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to suggest we have reunions since we'll cease to exist. But no, this is a kind of fundamental comment when I was doing a presentation to one of the, I think, at-large groups. I re-examined the affirmation of commitments, and I didn't see anywhere a suggestion that we even make recommendations. It's findings, you know. And I think it's a very important that we make recommendations, and I'm glad we're doing that, because I think the board is ill-equipped to move without those. And I think the board appreciates it too. But I think we should keep in mind that our real charge is the findings, and that maybe some language tweaks in recommendations might be appropriate, particularly in the area of like the 50%. So I just throw that out because it's something that struck me.
I think that's a theme that I think we will explore in this session. Looking forward to that. Kathy and then Peter. Hello, James. Welcome.
Is it one? Quick question for Denise.
Got quite a few action points. Sorry.
Quick question for Denise. Denise, is there anything that comes to mind that you want to flag for us now as a concern, kind of a preview of coming attractions? It's actually something a number of us went out to our own communities to say, look, the comment deadline is Saturday, but we're meeting on Wednesday. Kind of let us know your bullet points. I know I went to several communities, some of which I was a member of, some of which I wasn't, said, you know, Wednesday, so get us some thoughts now. Anything you want to flag for us that you see is unfeasible or just that you think may pose a problem down the line so that we're not surprised?
Thank you. I am I'm still finalizing input and discussion and agreement internally with the staff, and so those are not the type of comments I'd want to make on the fly. But you know, rest assured that we'll be giving you something in writing that that suggests clarification and lays out what we see as feasible, problematic, and paths to implementation that will just for your consideration.
Does any of it make changes to the recommendations that would be helpful kind of to put in the codified form?
Yeah, so I'll be following up with an email. And it's not something I feel comfortable representing and going through you on a specific level at this point. But rest assured you'll get language.
I think, you know, it's going to be great to have that just after this meeting as we're all recovering. And then I think that we will schedule a call in probably in a fortnight's time, reviving our Wednesday slot, and one of the first action items we should have is to go through those comments from staff and to do that. I've got Peter.
Two action items. One is reviving our calls, and two is going through comments from staff.
Kathy, Peter.
Actually, I can't remember what my previous comment was, but on the calls, I guess we're getting pretty close to the end. And just thinking through the logistics of the calls, I think it's a good idea, but I will plead, given the range of time differences and so on, I'm not sure how we would decide to schedule them. But can we, it would be great for discussing issues, working things through, but can we not make any critical decisions on anything that may be contentious on the call? So if there is going to be a change to any text and so on, let's do our very best to do it today. If not, then let's do it online via the mailing list and set appropriate deadlines and so on so we can make the progress. I think everyone would be, if you couldn't make a call because it was 2 a.m. and a decision that was quite critical got made, it'd be a bit disappointing.
I fully endorse what you're saying, Peter, and that's why I'm hoping that we can just bottom out all of the contentious issues, any changes of wording to recommendations right here, and make sure that we're leaving this as comfortable as possible with the proviso that if we get feedback on feasibility with staff, then we will have to respond to that. Kathy?
And also the proviso that we've set a comment deadline that's a few days away, and there are people who aren't here, who can't afford to be here, who are outside of here, and we're still in comment mode, I think, until the weekend. So things may still come up.
I'd like to take up Sarmad's suggestion and focus our work now on, and we've got this, I can't remember if you've all got it. It's a very useful digest. It's from the 6th, but it does at least lay out the recommendations and the comments that we had until then. Can we just go through the recommendations, and we don't have to do it on this, but just look at the recommendations and see, sort of basically put them into two baskets. The sort of, this is fine, it's not even causing any comment, and this we need to focus on. Yeah? Will that work for everyone?
Starting at number one.
Can you actually, if you use the screen that we had for the board, that's probably going to be the best way.
Can I
James's time is very limited.
Yeah, how long? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, how long do you have? How long?
Until about 2 o'clock.
About two.
I'm a two.
Oh, good. I'm hopeful that we should have done the guts of our work by then.
Okay. I have to leave about 11:45 for about an hour. I've got a DNSSEC panel that I've been roped into.
We'll try to accomplish all our.
While I'm away. Excellent.
Let's. But you're then returning for the rest of the session, so we can catch you up. Okay. Good. Right. Recommendation number. Actually, is this the best format? Perhaps.
The other one.
The other one. Would you mind doing the blue one? The condensed form one, the boxy one. And
I just want to put on the record, since this is record, that I have hundreds of notes at this point from comments that have been made from all over, as well as from written comments, as well as from the session, because I used the template, and I want to show you what it looks like at this point.
Yeah,
so this is really what we're talking about is off the top of our heads. Mm. I think we're going to need... I think this is about flagging things in some ways, not about finalizing, because I'm not in a position to finalize it. There's a lot of material that I've taken notes on.
Our final report will be end of April. What we're doing here is triage and trying to identify issues that we need to spend time face-to-face resolving.
Okay. That said, recommendation one, I think we need to clarify it. I think everyone agrees to it in general, but there are those who have interpreted it as our defining policy. We'll need to clarify that this is an administrative function.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have to say anything more than that unless anybody thinks we have to go farther.
Thank you, Kathy. Anyone disagree with that? That we don't foresee a PDP with this? This is an administrative, not a policy-making function. James?
I just wanted to point out that registrars have expressed to me that they're very much supportive of this. I feel like this recommendation is long overdue, at least the ones who have expressed this to me personally. And if there's any concern, it's that something will either be lost or added in the translation. So I think that anything that we can do to make sure, sanity check, whatever we come up with or whatever we instruct ICANN to do, make sure it has to go back and say, is this, hold it up to a mirror and say, is this what you thought, was already existing in there? And then maybe reference where they teased it out so it doesn't look like something was added or removed.
And perhaps to help that, and bearing in mind some of the comments we got in the last session with the board, we could either on the face of the recommendation or just in the findings box say the policy, we're pretty confident now we've got the policy, it's in chapter 3. Yeah. And that could be used as a template. I've got Peter, then Bill.
I'm on too.
Okay.
Actually, now that you've mentioned chapter 3, I'm not sure I have much to add. I was going to remind people again that there's a similar process going on in the CCNSO on their framework of interpretation, which is a strange beast in which they've gone and said the policy's not entirely clear and it's not entirely clear what it is. So they've gone through and said this is policy, this isn't, and they're going through line by line, in fact word by word, and saying here's what this word is, here's how it's been used in previous decisions, and laying it all out in a very systematic way. It's an administrative process and not making new policies, so there's some sort of precedent. It probably doesn't need to be quite as... I mean, they're really putting a focus on how it's been used and interpreted and so on, but I agree. We wouldn't want anything to be added or lost.
Yeah. One thing that... a suggestion, perhaps, and I think it follows on from yours, Emily, with the recommendations that we may want to put, as an example, literally a box... comment box where we put in the note that we just had there. We see this as administrative, and to James' point that it'd be done and subject to, I don't know the exact phrasing, but reasonable review to make sure nothing is added or lost. And as opposed to attempting to craft the recommendation itself, right? It's a way we could put in some commentary easily about the recommendation from comments we've heard.
Excellent.
Okay.
Kathy?
another change to one that it, I don't think is huge, but I've heard it from many places, is that we should clarify that we're talking about GNSO and not IDN, you know, not addresses or CCTLDs. This is a global comment, but I've heard it applied specifically to this.
Thanks for raising that, Kefi. Salmad?
I think one reason this is being misinterpreted is by the is because of the use of the word defined in it, and I think that probably needs to be changed to something else. So what we are actually saying that it is defined, but it is just scattered. But the here we are actually saying that it actually needs to be defined, which is something
else. Sarmat, how would the word stated strike you? It's poorly stated.
It's stated in the contract.
So, again,
Go ahead.
Probably if we go into details, then we may not be able to go through all the recommendations. So that's why I was suggesting that if we can do a high-level pass so that at least we know what recommendations to work on. And then we can...
Okay. For now, Alice, would you mind just highlighting the word defined and so we can then remember that we had this conversation? Okay. Thank you. Recommendation two, WDRP. My feeling on this is order. I think it just pops out of nowhere into immense detail and it probably sits better under data accuracy. So can we say consider reordering. Anyone else?
Yeah, I think we're looking at the consolidated version here, guys. So take the template has the full one. These are the condensed form. But the latter part is, you know, if this is unfeasible with the current system, I'm just reading, the board should ensure that an alternative effective policy is developed and implemented in consultation with registrars that achieves the objective. We've now heard from the GNSO, from members of the GNSO, that they'd like it. If we're developing a policy, it has to go through the GNSO PDP. Mm-hmm. So just to note that, so in consultation, it's going to be with the community or with the PDP.
Yeah,
we'll have to expand that.
Appropriate processes.
Alice, that's a change that we're going to have to...
I think everyone just went at the same time, so in fairness, I'm going to go James, Bill, Peter, Salma.
Nothing of substance to add, except that this was also a very popular recommendation amongst registrars.
Thank you.
They're doing a lot of work here. They want someone to tell them that it's worthwhile.
Absolutely. And I view it, I hope that the registrar community view this as an opportunity. Bill.
Okay. So in the comment area, for our recommendation, I would suggest that we put in something like, you know, we have heard from various or all constituencies or, you know, whatever, that this particular policy is painful and perhaps not productive.
I think we could probably formulate a better finding on this than we've got at the moment. I think it's been. I think it was a bit of a. It fell through the cracks during the drafting process. So we need to formulate the finding a bit better. But we've got the finding. It just needs to be pulled out of somewhere. Peter.
Yep. Look, I'm just going to agree with people. I think it's. I'm supportive of reordering it anyway, down in with accuracy. I'm supportive of having an appropriate finding to, as I am with all the recs, I think, to sort of clarify where we're coming from. And again, to follow on from Kathy's comment, this is what I was actually going to comment on initially, is that final wording about the policy and ensure. There's two things there, I guess. One is that the way that we've currently worded is that there is policy developed in consultation with registrars. Probably we need to look at that wording, because if there's going to be a GNSO PDP, then presumably registrars will be involved. The second is, and this goes to what we were just talking about with the board, the introduction, the board should ensure that a policy is developed. For those in... Maybe the GNSO people can help out here. Is that the best wording? Can the board actually do that, ensure that an effective policy is developed that encompasses these things? Is that within its remit? I mean, the things we're asking for are high level. So I'm sort of hopeful, I guess. But I would seek just some guidance on the wording that we could put in there so that we're not asking the board to do something it can't do under its bylaws.
I agree that the wording of the end of that full recommendation, I think it can be improved to make it... I think it, this what we're asking for is the board to take appropriate steps and that the you know, whatever the process, a PDP or whatever, be initiated. It might even be, to be honest, I think that the PDP would be the sort of, if this fails, then do the PDP, because it might be that the operational improvements might be made as well. I've got Sarmad. No, Kathy, did you want to come in? No, Sarmad.
So, just the way this is worded, I see it logically conflicting with one of the other recommendations in which we are actually giving a precise number of 50%, where here we are actually keeping it sort of an open-ended, and both are talking about an accuracy metric. So I'm not sure whether the two match with each other.
All right, let's just note that. Just put a question mark and say compatibility with, I think it's number five, isn't it?
I guess, so I'll say two things. First, I agree with Mikhail. I think this isn't inconsistent with the later accuracy recommendations. This is intended to improve accuracy. It's not intended to be the only thing we expect them to do. So we expect them to do this, or we're recommending them to do this. Sorry, I should be more careful with my language. We're recommending that they do this. The intent is clearly that it improve accuracy. But to reach the 50% target, they may need to do other things, and that's, I guess, the decision for the board, what other things they do. So I don't think they're inconsistent, and I think it's probably okay. And then I just wanted to check, I mean, we've had quite a few comments on this one. I'm still very comfortable with it. Minor wording changes to make sure that we're not suggesting an inappropriate policy development thing or doing anything strange to ask the board to ensure something it can't. But is anyone else got a... Are we sort of comfortable with this one?
Number three.
ICANN should make WHO as a strategic priority. I think we've heard a lot of agreement on that. And then should involve this should involve allocating sufficient resources through the budget process to ensure that ICANN staff is fully resourced to take a proactive regulatory role. I'll stop on the word regulatory. This has caused some amount of consternation across the GNSO. Let me suggest some alternate wording that, because of course there is a question, is ICANN a regulator? Is it a quasi-regulator? And regulatory definitely implies government authority. Quasi-regulatory, I don't know what it implies. I think everybody understands the message Emily has delivered so clearly, you know, that we're practical. Like it or not, ICANN is operating as a regulator. But whether it has that authority, at least in the U.S., you get authority, regulatory authority through, you know, through the legislative branch giving you the regulatory authority. So let me suggest that wording, like, instead of regulatory, might be a proactive contractual enforcement role. Alice, maybe?
Just delete regulatory if it's causing a problem.
Okay. Or proactive role. Or
can't we use self-regulatory just because, you know, that doesn't involve any governmental power or authority, does it?
The issue's on the table. There we go. Anybody object to playing with some wording like that? Okay.
Not object with that. What I am concerned with is that the description of a senior member of the executive team. Mm-hmm. So I would, and I've gotten feedback from the constituencies that this should be the CEO. So that's the only way it's going to be a strategic priority. So I would like to change this to...
Guy, Bill, Seth, could I just ask you to have your conversation outside or focus?
No.
Thanks.
So Susan is
proposing that we actually state who we think ought to be responsible. I've got Peter and then Kathy.
Bill?
Thanks, Susan, for... Yeah, I was keen on, interested in commenting on this one too. I actually think I have probably the... although I'm willing to discuss, it's not fully formed thinking. But at the moment, I think I actually have the opposite consideration. I'm very interested that as part of having a proactive compliance role, that there'd be appropriate reporting structures and it could be given appropriate priority, and that includes in terms of the organisational structure and management and so on. I guess I'm a little more hesitant to be prescriptive. So I was actually a little bit... One of the things I was going to raise before you raised this is pointing to having a sort of senior member of the executive pointed to. In general, even if we... And I guess I'm even more hesitant to point to a specific one of them. Because it may... for those of you who weren't in the GAC yesterday, this issue came up in the GAC about... encouraging the board to start to look at compliance, and I actually use this, the who is focus on this as one of the inputs to this, in a best practice way. So I actually think, and Rod's comments at the time were, I think, his initial comments were that, you know, that they had looked at this and so on, and then the conversation got broader. I think the position we all got to was that it's probably a slightly longish conversation. Once we start looking at organisational structures, a couple of GAC members said that they, including me, had examples of other sorts of entities that deal with the sorts of issues ICANN does in terms of regulating an industry in this sort of way. It gets kind of complicated. So I'd be personally keener to point to a principle, i.e. that there should be appropriate level of priority, independence, clear reporting lines, what have you, built into the organisational structure rather than pointing to a particular person.
Human respond.
Yeah. Okay. And I had been thinking, actually, of a very senior staff member and wondering if we wanted to specify a senior staff member, because as what I was thinking was some of Emily's beautiful explanations of this were... First, we know that there's no one to contact kind of across the board if you have who is questions. So that's probably a senior staff member who's going to have very clear ideas what compliance is working on and what policy is working on. It seems to me we were looking for kind of an information point of contact. And then Emily talked about someone who would help shift resources and priorities in a strategic way. And whereas the board does big picture strategy, it's senior staff that does kind of the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty of strategy. So if you could throw in there into the mix, Alice, you know, designating a senior staff member. But that poses then questions with the independence. Because I was seeing, if not, then, you know, just kind of somebody really involved in both the nitty-gritty and the big picture.
Okay, my list is now Susan, James, Bill, I had you, Sarmad, and then Seth.
And Michael.
Oh, and Michael.
So good. My concern with the way it's read right now and changing it to senior staff member, I'm not sure how that changes the wording. A senior member of the executive team would be senior staff member, in my opinion. But right now, I think ICANN could look at this and go, yep, we got that check, and we don't have that.
Yeah.
So if we are not more prescriptive, they're just going to say, oh, yes, we accept that recommendation, and, you know, whomever, you know.
JJ.
Yeah, JJ does that, so right now there is no one that focuses mainly on who is. There may be somebody in compliance. There may be somebody in, you know, technical. But somebody that has the ability to say, okay, to implement all of this and to do what we need to do with the who is And to make it more accurate, we need all of these resources, and I am delegating that.
And Susan, a very important element of what you're saying is that as currently worded, we've got responsible for overseeing who is compliance, which is, of course, I think this is something that you've raised a number of times, Bill. That limits it, whereas what you're describing is the entire landscape. And I would propose that we actually meant to delete. If we delete compliance, then we've got to change, because the very last word.
Wait.
Does that work for you? It broadens it in the way that you're describing. The very last word. Have a think about that, Susan. Come back if...
I'm still not coming.
Okay. No, I'm not saying that as the final solution. I'm just saying that reminded me that that we were actually talking about it more broadly. So Susan is... the current situation, and I've got a nice long queue of people to comment, the current situation is Susan is bidding for more specific, in fact, to go for the CEO as having that role. Peter is saying, in fact, he's drawing back from being specific at all and just saying that he'd be satisfied with something like clear reporting lines and maybe a reference to good practice and, you know, other models that are out there, and to keep an open mind about that. So that's where we are. And of course, we have the agreed recommendation, which is our default position. So next I have James, then Bill, Sarmad, Seth and Michael.
Thank you for recapping where we were, because I felt like there was a moving target there for a little while and that I lost it. So I guess I'm going to come down on Peter's side of the spectrum here a little bit. Having just sat through a number of sessions, I think yesterday, where we discussed whether or not it was appropriate for this function of ICANN to exist in the legal department or the policy department or whatever, and it's just, it gets, you know, and you really, well, let's see, I'm going to say this. You know, one of the things that I think is a bit of feedback that if you read between the lines of the NTIA statement is that policy development and kind of operational things need to be clearly defined and separated. And I think that while we certainly do not want operational concerns driving policy, tail wagging the dogs, things going on in ICANN, we should probably be mindful of the other thing too, which is passing PDPs and council votes telling ICANN who they should hire and who they need to work for and things like that. I think that we should probably leave that to the staff to implement and execute. So I would say here, in this particular thing, try to avoid being prescriptive, declare the level of employee without specifics on department or whatever. I think you can possibly even strike the word senior. I don't know what that means. Senior to me usually means somebody is probably outgrown their current role, but we don't want to move them up to the next one yet, so we call them senior whatever. Different within ICANN, of course. I don't know. It's just...
Were you just leaving?
Sorry. Well, yeah, I don't. So I don't know what senior means. I think it means different things to different people. It's so I think striking that and
in American member of the executive team would capture what we're after.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that you know, being a member of the executive team implies senior. So. Yeah, and I think that that's the layer that we want to target. And, you know, as far as specifics about roles, and saying the CEO is responsible for that, I think the CEO is ultimately responsible for all happenings within the organization. So it's somewhat redundant to say, by the way, you're responsible for this. I think they would turn around and say, yeah, put it on the list.
Can I just sort of make a suggestion, given what we're saying, and also mindful of, you know, the reason why Susan is bringing this concern is a worry that a sort of checkbox response is a risk here. And so therefore we can set this up clearly with our findings that we view this as a change, that we expect to see some action as a result of it, and that the current status quo is not acceptable.
Yeah, and so maybe perhaps instead of being prescriptive about the role, the position, and the person, we can be specific about the actions and say, we want you to tell the community who is responsible for this as, you know, one of their major job functions. And we're expecting that, you know, when different staffs and things like that give reports to boards and councils and SOs and ACs, that this is included in those reports. And, you know, then it's, I think it becomes less less concerning who's giving that and just more that it's happening on a regular basis.
I've got Bill and then Samad, Seth.
Okay, so I'm relatively happy with the language of the recommendation. I agree with the striking of senior and especially the last word of compliance. Okay, because for me, it is a much broader role. And on the call with senior ICANN senior staff, I was very concerned that from some of the general comments I was hearing that they would say, oh, tick, we have that, right? We have somebody senior who is looking at, who is responsible for who is compliance, and that's not what we're asking for, I don't believe. I think we could, so I'd be happy with those two changes, and then place in the description, okay, the box perhaps that we don't believe that this role exists. We have, and that through further review, we have heard that there may be other mechanisms to do this. We don't want to be too prescriptive, but whoever takes this role on must be, right, basically at the level of an executive in a corporation. So in the U.S., that's, hate to use the term, but senior director, basically, yeah. Vice president, right? It's not a vice president at your local bank, your branch, because everybody, you know, you go into a branch, everybody there is a vice president. Right? That's, but I think we want to convey, and I think we do agree on this, is that it is a role broader than compliance. You know, looking at all of the aspects of who is, and it needs to be someone with responsibility for it and authority to do something. Okay, the authority has to be granted to them, but it can't be the current group, from my opinion.
Sorry, I was off mic for that. Samad.
Just a quick question. I was asking Alice at some point to give us the full text, that we're going to need the full text, especially as we go into data accuracy. That's what the whisper is.
Yeah, I think that the format we have at the moment, we've got the full text in front of us, is helpful just on our triage run through. So yeah. let's stay where we are. Samad?
So I want to second the discussion we're having, and I think... So reading through this, the two messages about this recommendation which I'm getting is this recommendation about giving who is a strategic priority, or is this recommendation about compliance? This actually reads as a compliance recommendation, where we are actually intending a strategic priority, where strategic priority includes not only budgets for compliance, but budgets for many other things, including improving the WHOIS policy, engaging with the communities. So if it's a strategic priority recommendation, then we can perhaps separate out the compliance recommendation and bring in wording which is more generic and covering other aspects of strategic priority as well, compliance being just one part of it, but there's much more to it.
That's a very interesting thought, and so what you're saying is that we've actually got two recommendations in one here. The strategic priority is the bit that kind of covers with it the senior member of, sorry, the executive role, and then we've got a lot to say. We've also got a sort of, and you've got to improve the effectiveness of and resourcing of compliance as well. And so, so you know, we're more or less reordering the words that we've got, but we might well create a separate one on that. Okay, see you later, Bill. Seth?
I think one takeaway from the meeting with the board is that this recommendation may be our most important one, and I think that's what we need to communicate in this recommendation. I don't think we can sound prescriptive, but we are not prescriptive. So I think figuring out how to communicate how important we feel it is, and that it can't be treated trivially. I'm going to come down on the side of, I think, Peter and James, that it is not our job to decide who's the most appropriate person. The board has to juggle many considerations. This is not the only important thing in front of them. And so I think we'd be doing a disservice to suggest a person. And I don't know if we might consider language like an appropriately experienced and authoritative member, or something of that nature. So to indicate clearly that we think it should be an important member, but not telling them where the member is going to come from.
Okay, I like this. I like where this is going. We've had some discussions, and I sensed everyone was pretty comfortable with this going up top as the first recommendation. So can we take a note that this will be the first one? Mm-hmm. Or two, if that's how it ends up. I've got Michael, then Peter. Salma, do you want to come in? Susan, do you want the mic? Yeah.
Well, colleagues have already told most of what I wanted to express. So, yes, I do agree with Sarma that there are mostly two different recommendations. And I also would like to remind that there were questions if we put it as a priority. So what should be less priority to ICANN, yes? So, I also agree with Kati, with Bill, that... for me, such a recommendation is about the responsible person within ICANN staff. So if such person appears, then at least it will also demonstrate that there is such a priority. For example, there are a lot of roles where there is no priority for ICANN. Someone can do it like an outsource, etc. But this is exactly should be somehow a priority in the way that if there is a question, if there is an issue, we should understand who is the senior ICANN staff who is responsible to solve such issue. So if we are able to reward such a recommendation in such a way, for me it would be even enough, even without the first part of this recommendation. However, I would agree that there are two important recommendations that it's better if we keep them as they are, but with the rewarding to make it much as clear as possible.
Thank you, Michael. Peter, then Sarmad and Susan.
Well, thank you everyone for all those comments, because it makes it a bit easy. So maybe I'll just try and summarise where I think we might be at and see if I'm wrong. So if there are two different recommendations, the first being that it's a strategic priority, and that is linked to the last part of our current recommendation, which is ensuring that we have someone in charge of it who's appropriately senior and authoritative and experienced and so on. And then the second recommendation would be about compliance, which would in effect complement a lot of the stuff which we've talked about, contracts being enforceable and so on. So it's almost in some ways a part of that, but I'm not sure. It might be linked to other things as well. But we have a recommendation on priority and a separate recommendation which deals with ICANN's compliance function being appropriately resourced, taking a proactive role, ensuring a culture of compliance, and some things around that. And if that's where we are at, I support it. And I actually think it'll make it a little bit easier for us, and I think it's very good that you've actually helped pull these two things apart, Sarmad, because I think the thing which Bill has pointed out, like if each of those is accompanied by some reasons, I think the setup for each of those will be simpler. It'll be much clearer why we're recommending each of those two things. So someone needs to be responsible for who is overall, in terms of overseeing it, a single point of contact, knowing what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. And the person, and then a well-resourced proactive compliance function is slightly different. It overlaps, but it's a different thing. And the reason we want that is because enforcing the contracts, which we talk about so much in our recommendations, is an important part of the picture. So I think, thank you for suggesting pulling them apart. I think it'll make it much easier.
Samad?
So a couple of things. First, then it also, I think, clarifies what kind of role or senior executive we want from ICANN, because now if we are saying that the person is going to be looking at policy and budget and compliance and those roles, so the person has to be senior enough to actually be above all those levels. And so if you can spell those out, I think just that sort of adds more meaning to what we mean by senior.
Yes.
And the compliance part then actually has, the reason we want to emphasize that is because that is actually going to have a direct impact on accuracy of data. So that part can go into the accuracy section.
So I do think we're getting to something here. I especially appreciate the fact that you have pulled these, you know, recommended two recommendations out of this. And also the sort of grasping the point that the, you know, if we sort of outline what we're expecting, you know, this person to be able to handle or manage or, you know, their role would include, all of those does indicate it would be an executive. I'm still really concerned that unless we're a little bit more detailed, that they're going to check the box and we still will not have any improvement. So, you know, I mean, what I'd like to do, really, if I ruled the world, who's that? Barry Shine or something? would be to tie all of who is and all of recommendations that we're making to the CEO's compensation. It's like if the who is not improved, the accuracy does not improve, then therefore he does not get his bonus. I mean, that would be the ultimate for me. But and yes, the CEO is responsible for everything in ICANN, but we've seen what's happened in the last 10, 15 years. It's like, oh, we can't really do anything about it. Oh, the community has to decide. Well, there's all kinds of things ICANN, you know, we've noticed, we've seen that in our findings. ICANN could have been doing so much more and has not. So I just want to hold, I think this is one of our most important recommendations, and I want to make sure we get the wording right so that our most important recommendation isn't checked off and said, yep, we're done with that one. Okay, move on. Yeah. And maybe we can't decide this today.
That echoes the comments of the IPC, which we have there. We recommend that the senior executive be CEO. The fulfillment of data accuracy objectives should be a major factor in performance evaluations and bonuses decisions for this office. If we might, we could add that bit. I mean, it's actually not just the CEO, is it? It's anybody with responsibility or this within their purview that we could add that into our data accuracy recommendations, perhaps, as an alternative. Kathy?
I'm going to make a procedural recommendation that, Emily, when you and I kind of were outlining today, we thought maybe let's hit the easy stuff first and flag what seems to be more difficult. I sense, and I think we all sense, that this is a very important issue for Susan. I think we're going to get to a few of these issues along the way where, and I don't think there are very many of them, where some of us are going to feel very passionate about a change that needs to be made. I think our job here today is to find those moments and then maybe task a few people to go out and tease them out and come back. I don't think we should be doing that here now. I think our job is to go through, pull the easy stuff out, and get back in, and then work on in writing, not necessarily in the teleconferences, because we won't all be on them. But you know, I can see this is very, very meaningful to Susan. But also, you should know, I made a promise to James that while he was in the room, we might get to some of the proxy privacy. So rather than asking him to express it, we pulled him out of other meetings, and I said maybe, hopefully, we could prioritize there. So just some thoughts.
All right. You wanted the mic.
Yeah, look, just really quickly, and I entirely agree with Kathy on everything except one bit. I actually feel we probably all agree on this, and it's just wording. I think in principle, I haven't heard anyone say this isn't an important recommendation, that we don't think it should be a strategic priority, that compliance is not important. We're just talking about the best way to get there. Whereas on privacy proxy, maybe it'll be a different story. So on this one, I think we all really, really agree. So I expect it's a wording thing, and probably you're right, it is best just taken offline.
Well, shall we park that there? I think that was a really, really useful discussion, and we've made some very important progress on that. Okay, I'd like to take you up on your suggestion, Kathy, and take this a little bit out of order and go to recommendation
5, 6, 7, 8.
Privacy and proxies.
Do we want to skip data? Wait, data accuracy or straight to privacy proxy?
I thought you were asking for.
Asking. Actually, let's ask James and Peter. What's
your top of the pops, guys?
I came a little early, so please don't adjust the agenda just on my account.
But were you aware that there's a recommendation to change that?
No.
I'm hearing rumblings that.
There's some proposed language.
Well, let's hear that. Let's go to that then.
Okay. On data accuracy?
No.
Maybe before we go to the proposed language, we'll just recap, because James didn't have the benefit of being here yesterday. Just briefly on the thinking, I'll try and remember everything. I think I can remember what I said, but there was a couple of other points as well. I've certainly had some feedback on the privacy proxy recommendations, and they circle around two things. And one of them is for me... It's not clear why we're taking such a different approach to the two. So, at a very high level summary, privacy at the moment we're suggesting what is essentially a mandatory approach, with proxy is do a study and have a voluntary approach, and then see whether that works, and then maybe we'll do a mandatory approach later if needed. A number of people have said to me, given that privacy services, they've said two things to me. It's not clear why you've made this distinction so hard and fast. If privacy services mean that the person's name will be available and only some of their other data will be limited, and it's going to be more regulated than proxies, in practice it simply won't be used. Everyone will go for a proxy. It'll be less regulated, and my whole data will be limited. So there's that practical consideration in that if we do it this way, people think it simply won't be used. And the other consideration is, I don't see why we would be softer on proxies than we are on privacy services, given that, again, privacy services do not limit the entire identity of the registrant, whereas a proxy service would. So my simple recommendation yesterday was, unless we have a very real reason for maintaining the distinction, that we essentially collapse them and treat them both in the same way as we're currently proposing to do to privacy services. I know Seth's got some additional comments, but that's by way of background.
Thank you very much for that, Peter. That's a useful reminder. Seth, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, and again, just by way of background, I think we had distinguished the two because we saw them as serving different interests, and that's explained in the report. On the other hand, almost all the comments we've gotten back, the people commenting don't appear to appreciate the distinction. to the extent that if we maintain our distinction, they're not going to get it. So I think even though I was in favor of the distinction because I thought they could be treated differently based on the different interests being served, although I was not entirely comfortable with the part of the proxy recommendations, I think that if we want to be practical, we have to address it the way that the community seems to insist they want to treat it.
Well, let's have a go at this then. I've got Kathy Sarmad James. Let's always bear in mind that this this language was very hard for us to find agreement on, and so that is our default. If we leave here still feeling like we're nowhere on agreeing this, that's what we go back to, despite its manifest imperfections. It, you know, it's clearly not what any individual would write, but it's what we could all sign up to. So with that, can I go to Kathy Sarmad and then James?
Yeah. I'll go. I have some other comments later, but this one is just a wordsmithing one. Not wordsmithing, that in some other areas too, that I found a theme that when we presented our findings and then our recommendations, they got it. And so a number of people came up to me, and this was one area where they said, could you please take some of the wording of your findings and put them in the recommendations? Because you have a number of people going straight to the recommendations to read them all through, and they're not going doing the back and forth. So here, the recommendation is to put the definitions of privacy service into privacy service, proxy into proxy. If we combine them, we combine them. But put those definitions into the text of the recommendation. And you'll hear this as a theme. I've got this in other areas. Nobody reads footnotes except lawyers.
Hey. Yeah, look, guys, yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about here. So.
Oh, it's not in the privacy. The footnotes aren't until proxy.
So that's true.
The privacy service provider, people said, what are you talking about? We got to define this stuff.
Okay, so just a reminder, in the new format, in the new world that will be the draft, the final report, this will flow after our findings on privacy and proxy. So we will have made the point about them being separate services unless we go with Peter's suggestion.
The recommendation is actually to include the definitions in the recommendations because eventually, even soon, the findings will dissipate. So whatever assumptions we're working on...
I think we'll bear that in mind. You can go to such a level of detail, including everything in the recommendations, that you end up with an intractable thing, and so it will end up getting lost anyway as they get, you know, condensed. So let's bear that in mind, but let's not take that too literally, would be my steer. Sarmad and then James.
So the reason we had two different levels... at least the way I understand it, is because for proxy there is a additional level of for privacy there is an additional level of indirection where the user is registrant specified but their address is not, and in case of proxies we are saying actually the proxy service is the registrant itself. So I'm not sure legally responsible, whereas for privacy services, the people who are providing the address are not really legally responsible. They are actually providing the address for communicative purposes. So I'm not sure whether it's possible to treat both at the same level.
Could I just sort of give you a clarification on that? Legally and in theory, which is where I think we were drafting this from mainly, you're right. In practice, however, people do approach proxies and ask for the reveal in just the same way as they do with privacy services. So in practice, people, there isn't the additional level of interaction in one and not the other. In practice, they're the same. Salman?
But one significant difference is the person, the registrant name is different for proxy versus privacy. And for privacy, you know who the owner is, but you have an indirect way of communicating with the person. Whereas for proxy, actually, the person's information which is given is actually the registrant owner. They may be doing it on behalf of somebody else at the back through some legal contracts, but the owner's there, and it's very clearly, clearly communicated, specified. So it's perhaps one could be a little, in a way, the distinction. One could be a little more liberal with the proxy, as is actually given in the recommendations. In any case, they don't need to be at the same level.
Thank you, Samad. James?
Thanks, Kathy. And I appreciate everyone for giving me enough background to get caught up to speed here. As I mentioned at the outset of this San Jose meeting, I'm very unlikely to be able to attend most of the RT4 sessions, so appreciate you getting me up to speed. So I just wanted to offer some thoughts on this, and recognizing that this was a long, hard-struggled and fragile consensus position that we arrived at, and not just in this group, but I remember a number of late-night telephone calls with just Susan and I working out some of the details of the language and things. So, you know, this is we need to be very careful when we start to go back at this thing with a steak knife and start picking at it. Some of the thoughts. First off, these recommendations, and perhaps we should start with, I don't know that we have done a very good job of making the distinction clear between privacy and proxy service. Based on the feedback that we're getting, it seems like the reading between the lines there is we have more work to do in our definitions and drawing those distinctions. These recommendations reflect, I think, not what we want, but really reflect more about reality, in that a privacy service is affiliated with a contracted party and a proxy service is not. One is inside the ICANN umbrella and one is not. One ICANN can take action and do things against and the other is not. So I think that was the distinction that we danced around, perhaps, or danced around a handbag. By the way, thank you for the handbag comment to the registrars. That's now my new nickname or something, so appreciate that. So I think that we need to be very careful. The second bit that I wanted to put out there was that, what I mean by this is that when we talk about proxy services and we talk about what we're really talking about is what registrants can do with domain names, with domain name registrations. Now, for example, there are a number of people, interests within the community that do not like or support domain name aftermarket. There are some country codes that have taken steps to eliminate domain name aftermarkets. But there's another example of something that exists outside of the ICANN umbrella whether I like it or not, it's happening, you know, and I think that to try and extend ICANN into an area where it has no contractual remit is problematic. You know, where's the authority? Where does ICANN get, you know, where's this coming from? And then finally, I wanted to point out that I think a number of folks have said, why are we treating them differently? And I think we said, well, it's kind of a practical necessity in some respects, but also that registrars, particularly those who are affiliated with privacy services and not proxy services, have thrown up a red flag on this particular recommendation and said, essentially, this can't go. This has to go through a PDP, or we're just going to convert all the privacy services to proxy services. Because you've basically shown us the way here that this market, the one that is requiring that, you know, personal information be put in a public database, is just not going to fly with our customers. So I'm just putting out here what I'm hearing back as well. And I think that some of this is reflected in a motion that will come before the GNSO today, which is very interesting, talking about thick who is, converting all of the thin who is databases to thick. There is a counter motion being proposed that thick registries be given the option to convert to thin. And why not? You know, it's working for a common net. Why should the others have this additional operational and anti-competitive burden? So I think we need to be very, very careful when we start pulling at the threads on this one. I know it's not, and no one is comfortable with it. I think that's usually the sign that we're getting somewhere. But my understanding of the distinction between the two was that we recognized that one was in the yard and one was outside the fence. One, you know, was subject to the rules of the game, and one was really a private actor. That was really what was driving the two separate recommendations. And I really don't know what to do with the feedback from the registrars on the privacy services.
Could I just, on that, before I go to you, Peter, and then Seth, and Kathy, and Omar, does anybody think that this doesn't require a PDP? Because
yeah,
I was just assuming that... That there's going to, this is basically saying, here is the problem. There is no policy. We got to start work here. So, does anybody think that?
Do you mean for one or both?
Both, I think.
One.
Did you think privacy needs
one?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, I don't think I'd thought of it in the way that you clearly set it out just now. Actually, to be honest. So, proxies, we think it needs a PDP, right?
No.
Well, a PDP would not be applicable to a proxy service.
So, what do you do then?
Wait for
her. Okay. Okay, Peter, and then Seth, and then Omar.
Oh, I'm in the okay.
So, yeah, look, thanks, James. That's really useful. And particularly the feedback from registrars, because that's pretty much exactly one of the concerns I laid out. The way it currently is, I totally expect everyone will transfer to proxy services, and the effect we will have will be that there'll be no privacy services and that everyone will be in proxy services, which all we're suggesting is that there'd be a voluntary scheme. So, look, maybe there'll be something, but... I am very nervous our effect will be zero, and in fact could be worse than zero in the current situation. Now, and then to go to your point, like I would sincerely like your response, because it's not clear to me at all that one is in fact in the fence and one is without. It seems clear to me that there are in fact some proxy services affiliated with registrars at the moment. I think GoDaddy has one, right? Domains by proxy within the fence. It's not clear to me why the fundamental assertion from your comment was that one's in and one's out. I don't understand why. I completely acknowledge, and this was one of the key discussions we had in Dakar, was that we're not going to know about every proxy provider. We can't, and we need to acknowledge that as our starting point. And I think that's perhaps one of the reasons we had the two points that we were discussing in such detail in Dakar. But that doesn't mean that the commercial proxy service providers are any different to the privacy service providers that we seem to feel perfectly comfortable having some kind of scheme on. So maybe if you could clarify that for me, it'd be great.
Sure, and I think probably the better word than affiliated would be co-owned. They're under common ownership, domains by proxy and GoDaddy, and that's probably the similar relationship. So it is, as an example, we also co-own various aftermarket businesses.
Is that a fundamental?
The fundamental distinction? Is there a clear demarcation across the industry, as you've suggested, that privacy services are only associated with registrars? And proxy services are not.
No, and I think that what we were trying to do in our recommendations is draw that clear distinction and say privacy services are accredited registrars. That distinct entity, the accredited entity that has a contract with ICANN, is modifying the Whois data as a service. Whereas a proxy is not affiliated with ICANN, may be co-owned by a registrar, but doesn't have to be. Could be a separate, a complete third party, as we discussed, could be a law firm. It's also a common implementation of a proxy service that is purchasing, registering a domain name, giving their own contact information, but the beneficial user is another party or another entity. And there is no contract between that entity that is doing that initial registration and ICANN.
I still don't understand the basis for the distinction. You're saying we said that a privacy service must be affiliated with a registrar. I don't understand why we can't say the same for a proxy, but maybe I'm missing something.
So in my queue is Seth, Omar, Susan, Wilfried.
Oh, did you lose me, Sam?
I've lost Kathy. Shall I pop you in after Seth?
Thank you.
Okay. Is that okay, Omar? Seth.
Okay. I had basically the same questions for...
I had similar questions for James. Susan and I were talking about this last night. You know, we're not really sure what's under the ICANN umbrella and what is not, and I'm not sure why proxies aren't and privacy services are, other than they've grown up that way. In other words, what if a private entity unaffiliated with a registrar were to create a privacy service? You know, I'm not sure they couldn't, although maybe they would run into obstacles. But anyway, we were thinking about this, and I guess the conclusion I came to, and these are my suggestions. Susan saw them, but I'm not getting suggestions brought in. But because I saw
it's broken. You don't need to turn to see it. Oh.
So given what my perception that the community didn't seem to be prepared to separate them out, what I did is took our privacy suggestions and duplicated them or just commingled them with proxy, but realizing that some of these services, whether it be proxy or privacy, and James has informed us that they're mostly proxy or they're all proxy, are outside the scope of regulation, and that just won't work. And I'm very sympathetic to the concern that, you know, why should the regulated be burdened and the unregulated not? So the suggestion here is, if we're going to make this work, and it is going to be a leap, and it probably certainly will require a PDP, we have to get everybody under our umbrella. I don't see how we cause authentic records to appear if we can't get everybody under our umbrella. So here the suggestion is that they take a further step and say, you know, if you are regulated, you can provide the service. If you're not regulated, you have to come in and accept regulation. So this is a possible discussion model for that.
Just a quick response? We're facing a fundamental challenge here, which is that a party that exists outside of ICANN can disregard ICANN.
Just as
how is that so?
Sorry, can I just pop in on this? You have the same logical distinction between resellers and registrars, don't you? Many resellers are not in the ICANN umbrella, and you also have the same fundamental distinction between any sub. You know, you can't absolve yourself from contractual responsibility by subcontracting, can you?
No, but there's some important differences here, Emily, which is that registrars have said if they're resellers, the registrar of record is ultimately responsible. They cannot delegate, as you were saying. Proxy services are not resellers. They are registrants. Okay? They are end users. They are doing things as their own business that is putting them in contact with other end users. Maybe they're offering, for example, blogger.com has numbers, many numbers of customers that they are then offering, you know, services under. So I get into a very strange place here where we're saying that we can't link them to registrars, we can't link them to resellers, they're registrants.
I think that perhaps this is where I understood Susan is coming from, is that while that might be logically true, in reality, if you just take the example of GoDaddy and your affiliated service there, you are actually guiding your customers through that service as part of the transaction of registration. You're offering it at the point of registration. It is clearly part and parcel of your service. There may be differences in ownership, but I think that this is probably the reason why while you're making very logical and cogent statements, I don't feel that you're convincing the room on this, because in fact the reality is that the large proxy providers are part and parcel of many accredited registrars, and that being so, registrars should not be able to absolve themselves from responsibility, in my own personal view, by saying, no, this doesn't belong to us, because it doesn't sound right. We trashed the queue. I've got Kathy and Omar and Susan.
I know, but
in that
I
case
think
goes.
You're misunderstanding my stand.
Okay.
Viewpoint.
Fine.
So,
apologies then.
You're pretty much
you're
aligned. I am willing to look at this again because Peter brought this up. So,
thank you. Thank you for that clarification, and apologies if I've misunderstood. Kathy.
Three things come to mind as I look at this. One is that we've been applauded in every forum we were in for being the first to take on the proxy privacy issue.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done it right. I mean, we haven't done it fully. We haven't done it perfectly. We haven't done it well. But everyone said we've moved the ball down the road because we're dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something important to think about. Something else that comes to mind is our always saying we were a review team and not a policymaking body. Already in the details of what we're doing, we're going down that line, and I'll talk about that a little more. So I'm concerned about going even farther down the line into policymaking. But the other thing that comes, and we haven't talked about the last few days, was what we all agreed at the outset, that we weren't going to make recommendations without underlying fact-finding. And we continue to come back to this area, and we didn't do a lot of fact-finding. We issued a question, but we didn't have studies. We didn't go out. This is really kind of a murky area of ICANN. And as we continue to push on things, I think we're going beyond our scope of knowledge and our scope of study and research and survey. I'm happy that we've moved the ball down the road. I do see two categories. I see one that's mandatory with privacy services, and God knows we better put the definition into the recommendation so people know what we're talking about. I see another on proxy services where I seem to recall we agreed that you would never know exactly who a proxy service is. Sure, domain by proxy, but also I register for my mother or my brother registers for me or attorneys
that's
register. So. But let's, big picture in mind, let's kick the ball down the road, and we have been applauded on that.
Yeah. Thank you for that reminder, Kathy. Omar, then Susan, Wilfried, Peter.
On recommendations 10 and 14, we should broaden the second line, services consistent with national laws, conventions, and treaties. Also, or perhaps the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. Second line, 10 and 14.
This is 10 and 14, proxy services and
mm-hmm.
Everybody see what that is? First line of both, 10 and 14, I think. Yep. Could you read that again, Omar?
Okay, 10 and 14, the second line. Consistent with national laws, conventions, and treaties, and also the Declaration of Human Rights. We should broaden it.
Why? Omar? Why?
Why? We should broaden it, because national laws could apply perhaps only for CCTLDs. We can mention Convention on Cybercrime, on the Budapest Convention on Cybercrime, for example, but I don't think it's good to specify. So we should amplify this concept. Both privacy and proxy, 10 and 14.
Susan?
I would absolutely love to rule the world and make proxies do what I say they should do or outlaw them completely. I just don't think it's feasible. So I'm willing to support some changes. But this, maybe we haven't done studies on a whole lot of issues we've looked at. but we've given this a lot of thought, or at least I have. And I have a lot of experience with proxy services and privacy services, and they don't work, except for the few exceptions. So I am comfortable with the existing recommendations we made. I agree the definition should be in them. We could do some wordsmithing maybe. And James, the reason that affiliated was used in that, if you remember, that was pulled from the RAA because the definition of affiliated registrar is under a common controlling interest. So maybe we change that into a common controlling interest in the language. But because I'm not sure co-owned is, that could not be very well defined in my opinion. So there's a lot of trepidation here to change this, though I'm willing to work on it and be part of that discussion.
Yeah, thank you for that statement, Susan. I've got Wilfried and then Peter.
Yeah, just one little thing to the logistics. I have formally been released by the ASO chair to go back to this room, and I'm grateful for being able to do that. So I will stay here for the rest of the afternoon. Secondly, please bear with me as I'm missing some of the previous discussions, so my comments might be out of sync. A more general comment, looking at the feedback we got from various parties, both personally as well as formally in the meetings, I think we need to be specific either in the introduction or in the management summary or in one other prominent place that some of the recommendations actually that we as a review team issuing those recommendations, we acknowledge the fact that implementation of some of them will require PDP activity one way or another. I think this will take out quite a bit of potential for misunderstanding. That's just sort of a suggestion, and we can probably look at the draft document and find the proper place where to put it. The next thing is to come back to the discussion regarding proxy and privacy. My personal perception is that it's a non-issue whether we are inside the fence or outside the fence, because we are looking at the same thing. We are looking at registrations for domain names, and we are looking at the registration data for those domain names. Whatever organization actually performs that action, I think is irrelevant, whether it's an entity which is ICANN affiliated or contracted or whatever, or whether it's me as a private citizen. I think it doesn't make any difference regarding the requirements. And coming back to the discussion and sort of our questioning each other, why are we making a difference? If I remember correctly, and I think this still stands, there is one fundamental difference between the two. In the proxy situation, we have an unbroken chain of responsibility because the registrant, the proxy service provider, is actually taking all the risks and all the rights in the use of this domain. We have it somewhere even spelled out in the document, I think. With the privacy service, we do have this gap because intrinsically the privacy service at the moment seems to be deployed to actually break that chain, to make it impossible or to make it at least very difficult to find out who is the responsible party. So there is sort of, if you look at the whole thing as a tree structure, sort of there is an additional leg and an additional node in the privacy service, which is not present in the proxy service. And we might want sort of to explain that somehow or to make this distinction obvious, assuming that you agree with my interpretation.
Thank you, Wilfried. Peter? I think I don't see anyone else asking for the mic. Okay. Okay.
So So there is no clear language anywhere in ICANN that I've seen, and maybe you can point that out to me, but I would use that in a hot second to keep to make a proxy service responsible for a domain name. In the RAA, it specifically says, you know, you need to reveal the, or not reveal. I'm going to murder the language, but there is language in the RAA, you know, talking about a proxy service provider or a registrar providing the contact information. So, you know, there's, if you look at the litigation around the world, a proxy service provider has not been held responsible for the content in most cases. So we cannot rely on that. So we do need something, but I think I do feel like they're out of the fence, and I can't believe I'm arguing your side of this, James.
Kudos on the brain transplant, James, for Susan. And how you did that.
That malaria pill still working. But so I do not want this to go in the direction of back where we were before in Dakar, where we have absolutely, we're silent on proxies, because then we've let the community down.
Thank you. In my queue, I've got Seth, Kathy, James, I saw you. Did you want to come back specifically on that point with a clarification?
Yes, specifically, I would say that they're not responsible if they are demonstrated to have done the right thing and shown that they are responsive to requests. And if they're a shaky organization that doesn't, then they are. Have a little bit of trouble evading that sort of responsibility. And then the other bit was something you had said just before that, before you made us all laugh. I can't remember what it was. Oh, I don't know if it's in the RAA. I think the section you're referring to, and I'm just shooting from memory, it might be in the UDRP, which says that if the registrant receives the complaint, the respondent or something has a certain amount of time to correct. Okay. There's something in the UDRP as well that says something like, if you receive a UDRP but you believe that it's directed more appropriately at someone, the infringer is not the person that receives, you have a certain amount of time to correct that and say, no, here's the person you actually want, and then that's kind of a reveal sort of thing. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll take a look, but yeah.
Thanks, James. That's helpful. Seth, shall I go to Kathy and then come to you, Peter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this responds to Wilfred, Susan, and James. Yeah, the UDRP, of course, gives rise to no civil liability, so it's not a remedy for people in Susan's position that have been harmed. You know, in other words, the most you can do is get the transfer of the domain name, so it doesn't provide that. You indicated that the proxy would be responsible if they didn't do the right thing. Is that coming from an RAA provision?
No, and I think Susan and I are shooting here from the hip a little bit about some, in cases that we've seen. Some.
Right. I personally agree with Wilfred that if a proxy is responsible, that should be a remedy. Susan has indicated anecdotally that hasn't worked. I'm very uncomfortable with the voluntary language, because I think that just feeds the doesn't work, that you just letting proxies off the hook all the more so, because courts and others will look to that language and say, well, you wouldn't have put that language in there if you hadn't intended to hold proxies responsible. But I think we are where we're at. We have the realities that Susan and James have explained to us, saying that simply saying proxies are responsible hasn't worked. So I will respect the real life experience, but I'm still uncomfortable with the solution.
Yeah. Hey, going back to what I was doing before, I want to separate out the issues that I've heard that don't seem to be controversial and double check that they're not controversial, and we'll call them things we can do as drafting issues later. So obviously we've got a core of something that's very, I don't want to use controversial, very, of which people feel passionately. Let me take that one out. can you tell me if the following things are controversial? One, putting in definitions in recommendations 10 and 11 for privacy services and privacy service providers, which are in 11, putting it into the recommendation, just taking it out of the report, putting it in. Two, that the proxy service recommendations 10 and 11 go to a PDP, and we will draft that accordingly, a GNSO PDP. We're assuming that this will go into that, and that what we're trying to do is create some framework, and James, maybe you can help us with the language of what would be in the PDP. But I think we all agree on that, right?
I'm not sure that we do.
That privacy services, that to create the rules for privacy service relay and reveal, that we're going through a policy development process? I thought we agreed on that.
Yeah, that part, yes.
Okay. So I'm just saying that's one of the things we've been asked to clarify. Three, Omar has asked for an expansion of the language in both privacy and proxy services, that ICANN should develop and manage a system of clear, consistent, enforceable requirements for all privacy services or proxy services consistent with national laws, conventions, treaties, and the UN Declaration of Human Rights. Is that fairly uncontroversial? Can we put that in?
I think it's redundant, and if it's not redundant, then you're imposing compliance with the Declaration of Human Rights to countries that haven't actually adopted it. And I just don't think we can. I just don't think we can go there. I explained to you yesterday. I think it's redundant because it's either in national law or not. I don't think that we can. We can attempt to tie the hands of sovereign countries, and we had this huge debate in Dakar about it.
How about national laws including duties? International obligations to the extent incorporated into international
laws? What's going to happen is cross-border reveal requests. So Syria goes to me in the United States at .org and says, reveal X organization. We've been asked by both intellectual property people and by non-commercial people, this is passionate, let me flag this is huge, that we've been asked to make sure that we go beyond national law to some recognition of international norms. Even Interpol does this, guys, international norms on human rights. I am flagging this will take us a long, long time. And I know what you've said, Emily, but I also know my recollection is not that we had a huge fight about it, but that we agreed on the principle, that we were looking at national laws but also at international norms and values of human rights, because we're talking about privacy, and that we just couldn't find the right words, and Lord knows I couldn't find the right words. And so here we've got some really good wording that Omar has introduced, and I think, again, it moves the ball down a little bit and gives guidance to the policy people on what to consider. And that's all we're doing, is guidance to the policy people on what to consider.
Seth? I'm not going to do wordsmithing on this, but if you want to come up with some words, very happy to. What we've done is, though, I did have a cue on proxy and privacy, which is Peter and James, and what I'd like to do is go through that cue and then have a short break where we can eat our lunch and just have a break. Yes, exactly. Peter, James.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure I've got much to add, to be honest, from here. It might be that we chat over lunch. And I just to echo Seth's comments, I'm like, the way that it currently stands, I'm increasingly uncomfortable. And to be honest, the more that we discuss it here, the more uncomfortable I become. I think I've got clarification of my fear now that what we're actually doing will be not having a privacy market, that in fact all the registrars will shift their customers to proxies. The proxy system doesn't seem very clear. It seems to me that by adding voluntary requirements, we'll be making it more unclear. And the fact that some of the voluntary requirements include proxy service providers may provide full contact details as required by WHOIS may just makes me even more concerned. Yeah.
James?
So, I guess I'm in agreement with Peter that I'm growing increasingly uncomfortable with this. I wasn't thrilled with the status quo, but now it seems like we've, collectively agreed to blow that up, then we'd need to take a hard look at these two, the distinction, the definition, whether that's still operative, and you know, whether or not it's within the remit of this particular group to even wade into this area, and whether any recommendations or findings from the WHO's review team can be applicable to this industry. So that's kind of where I'm kind of landing. So
can I just clarify one thing, James, which is that the sort of the white line around the football pitch for this particular conversation is if we can't decide and do better, we fall back to what we agreed in our original draft report, which we've all signed up to. And I think that you put it very well by saying we all feel uncomfortable with this, mm-hmm. and to a greater or lesser extent, we all do feel uncomfortable with it. We don't think that we've nailed this or that had the final word on it, but this is what we could sign up to and agree with, and I do not want to blow up a consensus that we had.
But what I'm hearing Peter saying, and what I'm hearing, is that the people that have sent us here are saying, you know, you should have never really bought off on this. I don't know if that's. I mean, I'm hearing like there's feedback that. Maybe with respect to proxies, from where Peter's coming from, and privacy services, to where I'm coming from, is kind of, you know. We love what you've done. Great work, RT4. Really tackled this beast. You slain this dragon. Except for this, we just can't swallow this part. You know, and I think that we're hearing that from our groups, our constituencies, or whatever, but we're hearing it from about different parts.
Let's take a break now, eat our lunch, have 5 minutes. We'll resume our work at 1 o'clock, but of course we can continue this conversation informally in the meantime.